We're going to talk about the word fellowship and what that means in the body of Christ. It's not just two guys hanging out and going fishing together. You can be in the same boat and not be in fellowship with one another. You can work at the same job with somebody for 20 years and not be in fellowship with that person. The word fellowship is much, much deeper. So I want to start with this. Jesus told us something that's really important for us to know. And it's in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said this, "I have told you these things." Now, when Jesus says to you, "I've told you this already." You remember when your mama said that to you when you were little? "I already told you once." And she just held up one finger. And then it went to two fingers, and on three fingers, the atomic button was pressed, and it was over. Jesus is saying, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." He said, "I want you to have peace. I want you to have peace every day of your life." And then he goes on in the next sentence and he says, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. Now, I love this scripture because Jesus is not playing games. He's not telling you, when you follow me, life is just going to be a bed of roses and you're going to be rich and you're going to be good looking finally. That is not the way it works. He said, "In this world, you're going to have trouble. There are going to be problems." But he gave us a way to handle our problems. He gave us a way to deal with stuff as we're going through it. Now, some of us have a tendency to isolate when we're going through trouble. And the Bible teaches us we're supposed to lean into fellowship with other believers when we're going through trouble, because everybody in the room and around the world will go through trouble. If you have not faced trouble yet, if you've had just a perfect life, get ready. Because somebody's about to jerk the rug out from under you, and you're going to realize, "Woo, that fellowship thing was important. I should have been paying attention to that. I should have been helping somebody else." You see, God put us in teams. He put us in fellowship with other people all along, all the way back to the beginning. He gave Adam and Eve a family. That was the building block for society and the building block for the future church. He said, "You're going to need some people. You're going to need some people to help you. You can't do this all by yourself." And then when Jesus shows up on earth, he picks 12 people, disciples, to help spread the message. And then he sends out some people to spread the message, and he sent them out in twos. He didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out in twos because I think he knew you're going to get discouraged. When somebody doesn't listen, you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to need somebody to go, "Hey, it's all right. We got this." In a marriage, that's the way it works. In the church, that's the way it's supposed to work. There was 120 people in the upper room. God could have said, "I'm going to send one person up here that's going to all start." That is not what he did. He said, "I'm going to start with 120 people." Then they go down out of the upper room after they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people come to Christ that day. It started to grow in numbers, and God knew that every one of us was going to need somebody along the way. So if you don't get anything else I say this morning, I want you to get this next statement. God designed us to do life in the context of fellowship and connection. God designed you to do your life within the context of fellowship, godly friendships, and connection with other people. He gave us this commission. When Jesus was leaving earth, he said, "I want you to go into all the world. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to baptize those who are believing." And he just left a list of things. This is what you're going to do. Now, he knew we were never going to be able to do that on our own. He could ignite that fire in us, but he'd already created us to need other people in our lives. And so when he told us we're going to go into all the world, see, he didn't just give you the gift of salvation so you and I could sit back and enjoy it. He gifted us, he blessed us, he saved us so that we could share the message in part with other people. And we're going to need somebody to have our back along the way. When the Cowboys win today, it will be because they had a team. Amen. It's going to be, I'm sorry, Albert. I was looking directly in Albert's eyes when I said that. I didn't even mean to, and it happened. All right. They're going to need team. It can't just be one star. It's got to be a whole bunch of people that we know their names and a whole bunch of people that we don't know their names. It's a team. It's an organization. They work together. But that's still not fellowship. Fellowship is when we gather, when we are in connection with other believers that have our best interest at heart. Now, I've told you this story before. And if you know it, you can just skip ahead right here. But the story goes that there was a man who had been out of church for several weeks. And the pastor said, I'm just going to go by and see him. And he gets there. It was on a particularly cold day. He gets there, and the man has a fire built in the fireplace. And he welcomes the pastor in, and he says, hey, have a seat. And that was the last thing that was said. And they're both sitting there looking at the fire, and they just enjoying the warmth. And finally, the pastor goes, he realizes, boy, I got this great object lesson. So he reaches up and grabs the tongs, and he pulls one coal, one ember out of the fire, and he puts it over here by itself. And they both sit in silence, and they watch it. And eventually that ember goes from bright orange all the way to black. No fire left in it. Then he reaches back over with the tongs and he puts them back on the fire, and it lights up and the flames start shooting from that ember again. He sits back down and then he says, well, I got to go. And the old fella said, thank you, preacher, for the fiery sermon. Now listen, when we are separated, that's what Satan wants to do, is separate us from other believers. Because when we're separated, we start to give up. We need each other. Because if we don't have each other, we're going to get cold. If we don't have each other, we're going to give up. There are times when we don't have other people around us and we lose confidence. We lose focus. We forget who we are. We forget who God is. And we quit because we're not in fellowship. Hebrews 11 or 10 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. He said, look, I want you to be so concerned about this fellowship thing that you are thinking about ways to motivate other people to acts of love and good works. I want you to be actively thinking about how you are going to motivate and encourage somebody else in your life. We all need encouragement. We have this tendency to think, well, I'm different. I can pick myself up. No, you can't. God didn't create you to be able to do that. That would be a superpower that you and I don't have. Because we get discouraged and we need somebody to say to us, I've been there. It's going to be okay. We need somebody to say to us, I'm praying for you. What can I do to help you? We need somebody to encourage us, to give us another shot. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about one of my favorite people in the Bible. But there's very little written about this guy. His name is Barnabas. Barnabas is known for being an encourager. He was in fellowship with lots of people. This is when the church first started in the book of Acts. And Barnabas was one of these key figures that we don't know an awful lot about. But he accomplished so much without being the main guy. He was a constant encourager. He always saw the good in people. He always saw past people's failures and saw the potential in them. Now, it's amazing that we don't know more about Barnabas. But Barnabas played a major role in the history of the early church. He was the man behind the scenes. He was the guy encouraging other people. One of the first people he encouraged was a guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul ended up writing half of the New Testament. But Paul started on rocky ground with the church. Paul had been converted on the road to Damascus. He had this encounter with God. He heard God's voice. He went blind for a few days. It was this miraculous thing. And within a few days, he had gone from being the guy who would persecute the church. He was actively trying to get these people arrested and get them killed, get them executed. He was actively trying to get rid of them to being one of them in a few days. I mean, everything changed. He went from being angry about Jesus to loving Jesus in just a matter of minutes. God was working in his life. But these Christians in Jerusalem, they didn't really know if they could trust him. Look at Acts 9. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. He tried to join because he knew, listen, we're just naturally drawn to fellowship. But they were afraid of him. Can you imagine? Walks in here. Last week he was trying to kill all of us. And this week he says, I love Jesus. And we're like, yeah, I don't know, man. No. You sit right here. We're going to put some guys with big muscles around you. It'd be hard, but watch this. They were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. They questioned his motives, and he wanted to be their friend. He's going, really? I was on the road to Damascus. God knocked me off of a donkey. And they're like, yeah, right, okay, whatever. And then I went blind, and I heard God's voice from heaven, and I've been telling people about Jesus in Damascus, and I'm one of you. And they're all just hands off. I don't know about that. And then shows up Barnabas. Barnabas is one of the leaders in the church. And he does, watch what happens in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas took Paul and said, come with me. He just said, I'm going to introduce you to the apostles. I'm going to introduce you to the top leaders of the church so that they will know you and they will trust you and we can work together. After this, Paul could move freely in the church. A believer started because somebody vouched for him. Somebody saw something in him that other people didn't see. Barnabas wanted to encourage his friend, new friend, Paul. So Barnabas was a friend that helped Paul overcome his past. Is there anybody in your life that helped you overcome your past? That encouraged you when you were struggling? That walked with you when other people had forgotten you? This is what Barnabas was to the church and especially to Paul. Now, then Barnabas goes on to play an even bigger role in Paul's life. In Acts 11, we see the church in Jerusalem sending Barnabas to Antioch. Antioch was a town, a city, where the church was starting to grow. This was the first place that people were called Christians. People who followed Christ were called Christians. And so this is a big thing happening here. So Barnabas goes to Antioch. In chapter 11, it says this, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now watch this. This is Barnabas. He went to Antioch. Verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. People were coming to Christ because of Barnabas's ministry. Barnabas is out there sharing the message of Jesus, and good things are happening. He is a rising star in the church world. He's an up-and-coming televangelist to you and me. He's becoming famous. He is building a name for himself. But watch what he sabotages himself. He does this in verse 25. Let's look at the next verse. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. So remember, Saul is gone now. Saul turned to Paul when he gave his heart to Christ, and now he's going back to his hometown. Instead of just Barnabas just saying, look at me and look at what I'm doing. I'm one of the great church leaders in Antioch and in Jerusalem. Look at me. He said, no, I'm going to go to Tarsus. I'm going to find Saul. He should be here and be a part of this. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So Barnabas goes and gets Paul. He goes, come back with me. And for a year, they spend a year teaching people about Jesus, about what's going on. And it starts to grow and grow. But Barnabas could have taken all that credit for himself, but he said, no. I don't know what Paul is doing out there. I don't know if he's tired. I don't know if he's ready to give up. I don't know why he's just hanging out in his hometown. But I'm going to go get him. I'm going to get him involved. Barnabas was not willing to just let the spotlight shine on him. He was making sure that he was raising people up around him, people that others weren't so sure about. Barnabas was putting the time in and caring for them. Barnabas never wrote one word of the New Testament, but he was the encourager of the man who wrote half the New Testament. Now, we don't give Barnabas a lot of credit. We think about Paul. I say the words Apostle Paul a lot when I'm standing up here. The Apostle Paul said to the Romans. The Apostle Paul said to the Colossians. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy. We talk about him a lot, but Barnabas could have been that famous person if he had wanted to, but he wanted to lift other people up. And they went on, Barnabas and Paul went on to do all kinds of great stuff. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit led the church at Antioch. Let's look at that next verse. The Holy Spirit led the church at Antioch to send Paul and Barnabas out. While they were worshiping the church at Antioch, the Lord, now they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. I want to stop right here. We're starting fasting on the first Monday of each month. The first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of each month, we're going to have fasting time, prayer here at church. And one of the reasons is this scripture right here. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the work to which I've called them. He said, look, you're going to send them out. And so they went out. They started doing great stuff. They started preaching the gospel to people who had never heard it, and just starting churches all over that region of the world. At one point, there was a man that was healed, a lame man who was healed, and everybody was so amazed, they looked at Barnabas and Saul, and this is what happened, verse 12. Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul, they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Here's what they said. These guys are gods. They're special. Now, not a lot of people in history have done things so amazing that they were called gods, but Barnabas and Saul were these two people. Now, look at this. Barnabas was called Zeus. Zeus was the leader in the pantheon of Greek gods. Zeus was the top god. They looked at Barnabas and said, he's like Zeus. He is Zeus, which infers that he must have been an imposing figure, that people must have been impressed with him, people must have wanted to follow him. And of course, Barnabas and Paul went, no, that's not us. We're just regular dudes. I don't know if they said dudes, but we're just regular people, all right? We're just regular, nothing special about us. We just know Jesus. Now remember, Barnabas is here. He is a man among men. He commanded people's attention, not because of his authority, but because of the Spirit of God that was working in him, and he chose not to lift himself up. They said, no, we're not that. We're not those people. We're not those gods you're talking about. We're just encouragers. We just want to spread the message of Jesus. Barnabas had the gift of encouragement so strongly that it cost him his place in history. His gift cost him fame, but he was willing to use this gift of encouragement because the fellowship of the church was so important. He wanted to keep people lifted up. He wanted to give new people an opportunity. He saw potential in people that were down and out. He saw potential in people who had a horrible past. And he said, let me encourage them. Let me build them up. Let me lift them up. Now, you would think that Barnabas and Paul were just thick as thieves the rest of their life. Not true. They were still human. And then this happens. Let's talk about this guy named Mark. And when they headed out to these churches again, something happens. Look at chapter 15. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. So John Mark. Barnabas wanted to take him with him. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had continued with them in the work. Had not continued with them in the work. Now watch this. So Barnabas said, hey, we got this young guy, John Mark. He is special. We need to take him with. And Paul, being the authoritarian, he said, he stepped out on us. He left us. On the last trip, we were wondering where he was, and he was gone. I'm not taking him with us. Now watch verse 39. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Saul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Now look, there can be disagreements among believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can like Burger King and I can like Whataburger and we can still go to heaven together. It's all right. All right. I know nobody here likes Burger King. All right, I'm just picking on somebody. All right, we can have disagreements. But Barnabas was such an encourager that he said, I got to take Mark back out again. I got to give Mark another chance. I can't just write him off. You know what Barnabas was saying? I don't believe in cancel culture. He was saying, I believe in giving people a second chance. He was saying, I believe in the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. And Paul, even though he'd been forgiven of tons, was like, I don't know about all that yet. Just give me a break. Give me a break. He left us. I can't count on him. I'm not there yet. Barnabas said, well, I'm taking him, and I'll go one way. You take Silas. You go the other way, and I'll see you later. And that's what happens. Now, here's what's beautiful about this story, or difficult about this story. Dr. Luke, that wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts, went with Paul. And he was a writer, man. He was writing down everything. And from that point forward in the book of Acts, it's all about Paul. We don't hear anymore hardly about Barnabas. It's all about Paul because somebody's watching Paul now. Barnabas said, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to mentor and love this young man who needs Jesus. I believe in him. I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to show him. I'm going to teach him. I'm going to invest in him. I'm going to make sure that he is the man that God has called him to be. And Paul is going the other direction and people are writing it down, man. If it was today, they're taking pictures and videos and they're like, here he comes. Here comes Paul. Look what he did. He healed the sick and all these amazing things are happening. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Powerful things are happening. Nothing wrong with what Paul was doing. He was spreading the message and God was working in him. But here's Barnabas over here. Nobody's writing down what Barnabas did. Barnabas is the worker man. He's getting the job done when nobody's looking. He's encouraging and he's building up and he's lifting up Mark. And he paid a heavy price for being the encourager to Mark. He gave up his place in history for Mark's sake. If he had gone with Paul, we all those other chapters after that would have been about Barnabas and Paul. But because he said, I'm investing in this young guy. Now, Mark went on to be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ that Paul later acknowledged. He's a good guy. He's got the goods. Look at chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor. And he says this, only Luke is with me. Remember, Luke's writing all down. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Paul, the one that didn't want Mark around, later in his life said, hey, I want you to bring him with you. Because boy, he's turned into a leader. Man, has he developed. Man, he is different than what he used to be. We couldn't count on him back then, but here's what Paul is saying. Barnabas, because you sowed into him, he is leading the way, and he's going to pass that down. Paul had to be thinking, everybody knows I messed up and I was wrong. He had to have swallowed his pride to write these words or have these words written. He saw in Mark now with his physical eyes what Barnabas saw with spiritual eyes. The job of for us as believers is that we see through spiritual eyes, not just physical eyes. The job is for us to see the potential in people instead of what's actually happening right here and right now. Because if we pull the veil back on any of our lives, everybody's going to go, cancel that dude. He can't lead. She can't lead. My goodness, they're still mad about that thing that happened 25 years ago. We can't trust them. We got to see people with spiritual eyes. Now, here's the most beautiful part of this whole story to me. This young man, Mark, that Paul didn't want to give a second chance to, and now he's saying, bring him to me because he can help me in the ministry. Mark went on to write the very first gospel in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark is the one who wrote it down because Barnabas said, I believe in this kid. I believe in what's going on right here. I know that God can use them. That is what the church is supposed to be. This is not a place where we get a bunch of perfect people gather every Sunday morning. If that was true, it'd be empty this morning. If this was only for good people, we would all be messed up. The church is a place where people with problems, people with failures, get together and build one another up and care about one another. When Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world, I want you to preach the gospel, he was really saying, I want to ignite you. I want to set you, I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. But you can't do this by yourself. Because no matter how fired up you are, you're going to get tired. No matter how great your encounter with God is, you're going to forget it one morning and make some dumb decisions. And you're going to walk away and you're going to think in your own head, you're going to think, this is not real. I don't have that much faith. I can't lean on God that way. Did God forsake me? And that's when somebody else, a Barnabas in your life, steps in and says, hey, I did not forget about you, Mark. I did not forget about you. You are full of potential. And let's do this thing. Let's grow together. Let's go out and do ministry together. Let's share the message together. Let's don't give up on each other. That's what the church is supposed to be. Is when the church is the ground that we're all growing in. Fellowship is the fertilizer that makes us grow. When we say, I want to be and do everything that God has for me, I want to serve him, I want to follow him. Barnabas didn't write one word of the New Testament, but he was the encourager that built up the men who did write the New Testament. We're never going to say, turn to Barnabas chapter 1. Barnabas didn't want that. Remember, he's a rising star in Antioch. He goes and gets Paul. Says, I want you to be in on this. I want to share that. People are saying, you're like a God. And he's like, nope, no, 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 not me. That's not me. I'm just here to serve the God. Barnabas was always pushing back the accolades. And he was encouraging people around him. Listen, you may not be the greatest encourager in the world, but we can all be encouragers. We can all encourage somebody in our life. Now listen to this. Here's the rest of the story. Barnabas was not even his real name. We're calling him Barnabas, and that was not even the name his mama gave him. Somebody nicknamed him along the way. Look at Acts chapter 4. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody nicknamed you because of how great you were at something? Barnabas is saying, I'm not doing it to be seen. I just want to do this to build the church. Fellowship is the way we work together and the way we hold each other up. And encouragement is what keeps us working together. So if I were to ask you this morning, if I were to show you or ask you this question, are you being more discouraging to the people around you or more encouraging? Which way is the scale tipping this morning? You see, there is no steady. There is no static when it comes to encouragement. Either I am discouraging folks or I am encouraging folks. What am I doing? Do the people around me feel encouraged after I leave? I hope that we all have this desire for people to say, man, I love being around that guy. I love being around that lady because they are always lifting me up and encouraging me. But it can't be fake. It can't be, hey, man, you're great. If somebody just walks up and gives you a high five and tells you you're awesome, don't believe it, because you are not awesome. All right? That's why we need each other. If somebody's just telling you about all the sunshine that's shooting out of your face, back up just a minute. They're trying to sell you something. That's not how this works. An encourager sees potential in you and says, let's work on it. I'm in this journey with you. I'm not going to step out on you when you mess up. I'm in this journey for the long haul. I see something in you. It's not there yet. It's not there yet. Years ago, when Bill Parcells was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys and Julius Jones was the running back, they were at an event together. And somebody, I think it's a fundraiser, and Julius Jones was introduced, and he's a young guy. He barely in the league a year or two, and he was the new hot star for the moment. And the person introduced him as the great Julius Jones. And he walks up there and gives his speech. And afterwards, Bill Parcells pulls him by, and he goes, hey, let's forget about that great Julius Jones stuff. Let's just work on being good right now. What he did was he said, look, that, somebody telling you you're great, because they got nothing invested in you. They're just trying to impress the crowd. He said, I care about you, and I want to help develop you. The Bible gives us ways to do this. We've talked about this before. It's the one and others in the Bible. The one and others, the things that we do for one another. We love one another. We're devoted to one another. We honor one another. We live in harmony with one another. We build up one another. We're like-minded towards one another. We accept one another. We admonish one another. We serve one another and bear one another's burdens and forgive one another and be patient with one another and speak the truth in love with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Speak to one another with psalms and hear hymns and spiritual songs. Submit to one another. Consider others better than yourself. Look to the interests of one another. Bear one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, stir up the gifts in one another, show hospitality to one another, employ the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of one another, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, pray for one another, confess your faults to one another. It goes on and on and on. We are in this thing together. God can ignite a fire in you and in me, and we're going to have each other to keep it burning. We cannot do this on our own. I want you to stand with me right where you are. I believe that God is doing something this year. I believe God is doing something this year in 2022. I'm going to be honest with you. I have felt something in recent weeks about the direction of our church that I have not felt in 2 years. And I believe God is working, that God is moving, that God is preparing us to make an impact on our community and our world like we never have. He wants to, amen, he wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. He wants the fire burning in us. Listen, you get a fire burning and people will want to see it burn. God wants to work in us and through us. And here's what I love. It doesn't depend on how great I preach. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't depend on that. It depends on the Holy Spirit. It doesn't depend on how good we are. God wants us committed to Him, and He wants us committed to one another, taking care of one another and building one another up. And instead of writing people off when they make a mistake, we're going and picking them up and saying, let me be a Barnabas. Let me be a Barnabas in your life. Ah, the Apostle Paul, everybody will know that. I just want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be the one that is there when you're down and out and struggling. If we are that for one another, the fire will continue to burn. But we got to do this His way. We got to do this His way. We're going to sing this together. I want us to take just a minute and answer this question. Which way is the scale tipping? In my personal life, am I an encourager or a discourager, or which way is it tipping in my life? As we're singing this together and we're honoring the Lord, let's sing it right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins. Your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on earth. You have made us new. Now our life begins with you.
Thank you, Jesus. I want you, as we're in this prayerful mood, I want you to ask this one question. Who is God calling me to encourage this week? Who is God calling? Because this is very practical. Who is God calling us, each one of us, to encourage this week? I encourage you to think of three people. Somebody in church, somebody at home, and somebody at work that you can encourage and be a light for Jesus in those three areas. Who are those people in your life that you can encourage? Now, don't encourage them by saying, "You're awesome." Encourage them by saying, "Here's something you do that is great. I really appreciate it when you do this. Or can I help you with that?" Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. All those things. All the one another's. What are we going to do? Who are the three people we're going to encourage this week? Let's get this fire going. Let's let God show up. Father, we thank you right now for all you've done. God, we thank you for the opportunities to serve others. We know you served us. We know Barnabas made it possible, Lord, that we could be reading the New Testament today. God, you used him behind the scenes so we can hold this book today and know what you are saying to us, because he was encouraging the men that you were telling these words to. Thank you, God. Lord, we don't need credit. We don't need glory. We don't need people to recognize our names, our images. God, we don't need more followers. What we want to do, Lord, is encourage the people that you place in our lives. Lord, we don't want to cancel. Forgive us, God, for canceling people. God, forgive us for canceling people. Forgive us for walking away when we should be loving and being and encouraging. Lord, I pray, God, that as this fire ignites in us, that this year would be the greatest year of encouragement Grace Point Church has ever seen. Lord, we'll never be able to count encouragement. We'll never be able to quantify it. We'll never be able to write it down on a piece of paper. But Lord, you are keeping score in heaven. You are providing the results, God, and we just want to be in your plan and in your will. We want to do this, God, with power, Lord. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit that others would see in us an encouraging spirit that they don't see in the world. That we would, God, just show them who you are and what you're about. God, we would put you first in our relationships, and we would build people up. And the times when we're discouraged, Lord, help us to find the Barnabas in our life that can build us up and lift us up and encourage us, God. There are going to be moments of highs and lows, but God, you're there in all of it, and you've put us in fellowship with other people that are with us in both of those moments. And God, we pray that we would shine in all of that. We would honor you, that we would reflect your grace and your love in all of those times. And we thank you right now for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. What if our goal was to be the best Barnabas we could be? What if our goal was to be Barnabas to everybody in our lives? You see, Paul, when he had this tiff with Barnabas, he thought Barnabas was wrong. Because Barnabas, watch this, believed in somebody that Paul no longer believed in. Paul probably thought that Barnabas was being naive. He's giving that guy another chance. Whew. Time waster. That's not very efficient. That doesn't fit in the business model, Paul is saying. Barnabas said, "I don't care. I love people. I care about people." Mark ends up being a light in Paul's life. What if we said, "I just want to be a Barnabas. I just want to encourage other people. I just want to encourage people around me and show them what the love of Jesus looks like and feels like. I want them to sense this peace. Remember, Jesus said, you're going to have problems, but I want you to have peace. There's going to be problems in this world, but I'm going to give you peace. That we can share that peace with other people in our life through encouragement and let God do a work in us. Father, thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you. God, we give you all the credit for every good thing that's on the way. And we receive your help and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being